This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
How you doing, man? Anything?
I can't see him.
Can you see me yet?
I can't see you, Pete. I don't know where the fuck you're at.
Dude, you're a fucking huge star guy. You're everywhere. You're all over my computer, my Google, my internet. It's like, dude, you're everywhere. Are we live? Are we going yet?
I gotta ask you something. This is the last place I was playing. This was the green room. We've all seen this, right? He'll get it up there in a second. The toilet should be up by now. All right, bro. You see the plunger?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Uh-huh. Now, my question to you is, we've all been with this toilet where there's a plunger. Have you ever used a plunger outside of your own home? Like I don't do a road plunge. Do you? Would you? All right, we can get off of that now.
No. You would assume if you're doing a road plunge, you were the cause of the plunge, or you walked into a bathroom and it was clogged and now you gotta unclog it. Now, if it was me that clogged it, right, and I'm in a green room, I'm doing a road plunge. If it's clogged by somebody else, there's no way I'm touching that.
No, all right. But my thing is, if you got a plunger there, you already know you got some sort of a plumbing problem, right? I mean, like, you know, it's, I think it's a big ask to go, hey, after you're done shitting, can you stick the thing up? And, like, it's disgusting. You know what I'm saying? It almost makes me go, all right, I'm not, make sure you don't go when this thing, you know, I find it, I
think it's a courtesy.
You do? Really? You see it as a courtesy?
I think it's a courtesy to have it there just in case something happens where you're like, oh, Jesus. Like, to me, it's embarrassing if you're in the green room at a comedy club and you go and it doesn't go down. And then you got to ask the manager, you got a plunger? Right away, your magic is gone, bro. Whatever you had coming into that is out the window. As soon as you ask for a plunger, my mind goes to, oh, my God, what came out of this guy?
Yeah, no, you got. Now you're making me think, should I actually do that for guests? Have a plunger in eyesight if I have a guest over, if I'm having a party or if someone's spending a weekend? So that, gosh forbid that would have happened, they don't have to make that ask? That's an interesting point, because I didn't see it that way, but maybe you're onto something right there.
Yeah, I don't know if we have
seen
a plunger
as a courtesy
in that room. Yeah, I think it's a courtesy, but you know, like the way it even looks there, that toilet and that plunger, the way it looks like they have a lot of people coming through there with bad stomachs, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yeah, it looks like you'd like to think that the people that are staying at your home aren't dealing with, you know, gastro problems, you know, like
right.
Performers coming through there have problems, whether they're throwing up or they're taking a shit that don't look right or whatever. It just put the plunger in there and let them handle it.
Let's talk about microdosing. You know that just right feeling when your body and mind are really at peace? Like, you know, after a workout or a nice long shower where you're relaxed, focused, and a little energized? Being in the zone, man, that's what it's called. Well, microdosing can help you get into that zone easier and stay there longer. Listen, the reason people use this is it relieves anxiety, or if you have pain or muscle tension, it gives you a mood boost. It relaxes you. It helps you live in the moment. And some say it even spices up the sex life, makes intimacy better. Falling asleep is a big one that a lot of people say this helps with. And, you know, when you exercise afterwards, sometimes a little microdosing also helps the body recover better. So there's a lot of benefits to this, man. And if you want to learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use the code THECAST to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Again, that's microdose.com, THECAST, microdose.com, and the code THECAST for 30% off.
I want to put up a photo now. All right.
All right.
And I want to get your take on this. I don't know if you saw it. I sent it through the text thread. But take a look at this guy. Right? Yeah. Zoom in.
Yeah.
It's a bare knuckle fighter. That's awesome. Right? He's got like, I don't know. His head is swollen. Right? Do you see this?
Yeah, I see the swollen on the right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, my question to you is, does this guy don't know what he looks like, right? Like, he's fighting, he goes back to the corner, he don't know what the hell he looks like. Do you think once he goes back and looks in the mirror, he goes, what the, and you let me fight like this? Like, is there any, put it this way, do you think there should be a mirror in the corner of a prize fight? MMA fight, because if I come and I go, God, my head's killing me, right? And how's it look? And like, oh, it's swollen. I would want the ability to go, give me the mirror, and then I could look at myself. And,
that's great.
I could look at myself and go, call it. Like, I want to see. Because if I came out, right, and I'm gonna switch it on the other end. If you're fighting that guy and he comes out of his corner and he's got half another head grown out of his head, as the other fighter, are you obligated to go, I can't hit him anymore? You know, like,
yeah, right?
I can't hit this guy anymore. His brain is going to fall out of his head, right? Like,
he's killing you. I got to stop this thing.
I mean, the one guy who just showed me the picture of, he's got the tiger on his chest, and then his hair looks like leopard print. You see that, right?
Yeah,
dyed hair?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm fighting this guy, I'm thinking that he's not going to... Oh, my God. It looks like he's got a freaking tumor, bro.
Yeah, it looks like the brain really, really swollen, bro. You can't even see his ear.
Holy shit.
But what I'm saying
is, if that's
me in the corner, and they shine a mirror on me, and I go, "Yeah, no, I ain't going out there, bro. I think I'm good." I think they need a mirror in the corner.
I think that's it's like that great scene in Rocky where Apollo looks over at Rocky when Rocky's going like that, and Apollo's like, "This guy's so fucked up. You really want me to go hit him some more?"
I know.
Listen, you're getting killed out there.
It's my life.
You never went in that, by the way, in the Thanksgiving Day parade, right? You were never in it, were you?
I was in the Thanksgiving parade in Chicago, but never the Macy's one. And I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving parade over Thanksgiving, and I was looking at who they had performing, right? And
yeah.
I want to get your take on this. To perform in a parade, generally speaking, like, they had Bell Biv DeVoe. I don't know if you remember this. Yes. These guys in the 80s, mm-hmm. They were part of, actually, it was an extension of New Edition, which Bobby Brown was in, right? Bell Biv DeVoe, three guys left New Edition, started their own thing. Now they're performing 30 years later in the Thanksgiving parade. So what's your take on talent in the Thanksgiving parade? Is it one of these things where, like, you never really see Lady Gaga? I mean, Cher did it. Cher performed in the Thanksgiving parade.
We were there. We went. We stayed in the city on the Upper West
Side.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. You were there. Yeah. So we
got up early and, like, got a good spot and, like, the whole thing. It was really fun, like, to go with Sadie. But I was psyched to see Cher. I mean, that was, like,
for a parade, you're right. For a parade, that's like a big deal that we got Cher coming by, right? And she was supposed to come right before Santa, and Santa's last. So, you know, you got to wait to the end anyway to see Cher. But she didn't do it, bro. She only went down where the, you come down the west side. So we were on the Central Park. It comes down Central Park West. We were in the park on the park side up against the cement wall, me, Sadie, and Jackie. Because me and Jackie used to go to the parade every year when we lived in the city, and that was like always a good spot. So it comes down the west side, and then when it gets to Macy's, that's where you perform.
Mm-hmm.
So Cher was just down there. She just performed down there. She didn't even do the parade with the wave and stuff. Belle Biv DeVoe did, and a few others. But yeah, that's why I asked you if you were ever in the parade, because I know you wouldn't be now. It's definitely, they either get you like before you're famous, like starting out in a sitcom or something that they think is going to be in a hit, or, you know, they get you way after your fame is kind of faded, you know, be like, hey, you want to have a fun week in the city? But yeah, it's like, I was saying that to Jackie, how great would it be if you like, here comes, you know, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift bringing up the rear, singing with Santa. I mean, those streets would be lined.
Was it packed?
It was packed, but like, you know, it was funny because we got there at 7. The guy, Bellman, was like, great tip, right? It starts at 8:30, so we got there at like 7. But, you know, everything's already popping, you know, like when we're walking in, we're walking with a whole big band. And at one point, some guy, as we're coming in, we're coming around all these fences and stuff, and you're not sure where to go. And at one point, the cops are telling us to go the wrong way. I even said to one cop, I'm like, bro, I love you guys, but I mean, Jesus, you're all saying such different shit. And he goes, I don't even know, man, I'm sorry. So we're walking in with all these, a band. It's me, Sadie, and Jackie, and a whole band with their instruments. And some guy like puts his hand on my chest at one point. He's like, yeah, you can't go any further. And I'm looking at, but he's not a cop or anything. And I'm like, guy, they're going to stop you down there. I go, whatever, guy, beat it. You know, so we just kind of kept going. And nobody stopped us, which was great. And we got this great spot up against the wall. We got there about 7:15. And, you know, we got some coffee and we're talking and laughing, looking at everything set up. I turn around about 7:45, a few people, by about 8. Oh, man, it's got to be 40 deep behind me, like trying to see the parade, get a glimpse of it. So it gets pretty, right before it starts to fill up. But if you had some famous people, it would be like, it could be magical, man. Like, can you imagine? Like, you literally got, like, Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise waving from a float.
Brad Pitt!
You're
doing a bit from What's Wrong With People? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm surprised at that close to the parade you were able to find something. I thought people, like, camp out overnight.
Right.
To get a great seat at the parade. I feel you come at 7, you're out of luck, bro. How do you even get near the parade at 7?
Where we are, usually most people up where we were live in the city. Because if you're coming from anywhere else, you get off usually at Penn Station, you're going to come out, you're right by Macy's, you're not going to walk all the way up where we are. If you want to sit like right on the curb, so you're right in front of it, 6 o'clock is good, 6 a.m. But no, it's not an overnight. It's not like New Year's Eve. It's not that, okay. Bro, it's not that entertaining. It's fun with a kid because you see the balloons, but even the balloons are like, the floats, like one float was Jolly Green Giant, the fucking green guy from the can, and the floats are like Pokemon and shit. Like, where's Garfield? Well, you know, what happened to the originals? So, like, we don't ever need to do it again, but it was a real fun weekend. We had a good time. And you can go, what's really fun is the night before, you can go and watch them blow up the balloons. So we were going to do that, but then, dude, the line was, like, insane. So forget it. We didn't end up doing that, but it was fun.
Now, I have the MasterClass app. I've had it for, I don't know, last 3 or 4 years. I noticed they just put up Kevin Hart's MasterClass, which I'm looking forward to taking a look at that. Talks all about being a comedian, wow, a mogul, and what have you. So really, really interested in seeing what he has to say. Plus, I go there for a lot of different chefs recipes with the holidays coming up. Really like to tune back into Wolfgang Puck's masterclass along with Gordon Ramsay. Also, it's got everything for everybody. You learn how to shoot a basketball. You know how to do ballet. I'm waiting for David Blaine to do one. It makes a great gift for the season. If you got anybody on your list, you're hemming and hawing about. You're like, what should I get? Masterclass subscription would be a great, great gift. You could learn from the best of the best: leadership, effective communication skills, cooking. It's like masterclass instructors are your own personal mentors. They're going to help you reach that next level. I mean, how much would it really cost to get like a one-on-one tutorial from the world's best? It's, you know, thousands of thousands of dollars. And with Masterclass, annual membership, $10 a month. Two cups of coffee at Starbucks, and you're learning from the best around. I took the Steph Curry shooting Masterclass, and now, you know, I'm draining threes like nobody's business. I'm ready to pay Pete in a game of one-on-one. So this holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/thecast. Right now, you could get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/thecast. That's masterclass.com/thecast. Offer terms apply. Yeah, New York is fun over the holidays. I was just there myself doing some press, and I wanted to get your take on this. I went to the Rangers game. It's the first time I've ever been to a professional hockey game. So I go to the Rangers game. Chris Rock and I go, right?
Nice.
What the fuck is that, bro? What is that?
What is she writing?
What is it?
Bravo on the bookie, so good.
Oh wow, bro. She could pop in. I mean, this is
so good. Can you hear me?
You're getting these mayday signals from a
oh my god. Yeah. I told you, no, she really loved it too, bro. It's gonna be a hit, baby. HBO Max, folks. If you haven't seen it, the bookie, Thursday night, two new episodes every Thursday.
Thank you. So I go to the game with Chris Rock, and Chris Rock and I were trying to get together for the last 2 years to do something socially. So it lined up where I'm like, all right, let's go to the game. So we go to the game, and it was hooked up through, I think, HBO or somebody like hooked it up. So, you know, you get to go up on a big screen during like a break or to promote whatever you're there to promote. So I go, we sit down, Tim Robbins is there, the actor, from, what the hell is he from? Shawshank Redemption, right? That's his name, right?
Tim Robbins, hell yeah.
Okay, his son, Chris, me, and the guy next to me, and his wife. The guy next to me is a little older, I think he's probably in late 60s, maybe early 70s. I don't know who he is. I'm just sitting there. He don't say nothing to me. Chris Rock sits down. He's like, ah, that's right. You know, Tim Robbins, you got James Dolan. It's the owner.
Yeah.
Of the team. I don't say much. Because he's watching his team. What's your take on starting conversation with an owner of an NHL hockey team while he's watching the game? Because I don't want to interrupt like what he's looking at. I don't know if he's sitting there going, we got to get rid of this guy. In his head, you got to get rid of the goalie. He sucks. Right. And then I'm going to go, and I'm going to chime in and go, hey, and he's going to go, guy, I'm, it's my team. You know, like,
right.
Is it kosher to start a conversation?
I don't know.
At a game with the owner of the team, do you think he's just watching the game intently, or do you think he wants to, like, in between go, yeah, right, the holidays are a pain in the ass, aren't they? I mean, like, what? So I don't say nothing. they're going to put me up on the Jumbotron, right? And they give me a hat, New York Rangers hat to wear. So they give it to Dolan. Dolan gives it to me. I put it on, and he goes, it's too small. Right? And I go, you know, I don't know, somebody just gave me the hat. He takes it, and I take it off. He looks at it, gives me back the hat. He's got a Rangers scarf on. And he puts it on me. He goes, wear this, too, with the hat, right? I said, oh, okay. So they did the thing, put me up on the thing. Now, what's your take? Do I give him his scarf back? Or was that a gift?
Right. I was literally going to ask you, did you ask if you could keep the scarf? Zach, owner, the scarf from the owner? That's pretty good. You know he also owns the Knicks. I know you know that, right?
He owns the Knicks, plus he owns that Sphere in Vegas, right?
Oh, my. Jeez. Doesn't he own the Garden or no?
Yeah.
He knows you.
Well, he saw me up on the screen, so he knew I was coming to his... they were promoting me at the Garden there. So he knows...
Right.
This
do you
guy's
think
getting...
he...
Go ahead.
Do you think he's sitting there thinking that maybe you don't want to be bothered, you know, just because I own this place and I get this guy to play here doesn't mean I have a right to talk to him. He probably doesn't want to be bothered right now.
No. It's his place. It's his house. I play by his rules.
Right.
I mean, you want to be cordial. You don't want to act like he's not even there. But I just didn't want. I didn't even want to interrupt the guy because he looked like he was so intently watching the game. So right after the thing, I took off the scarf. I gave him back the scarf, and that was it. There was really no interaction after that.
God, bro, you should have asked him to be on the cast. First of all, he plays an instrument, so like he's like a performer. But like some of the questions, like to what you're saying, I mean, don't you just want to lean over and go? So when someone makes a mistake, are you making notes like you said, fire this guy, fire, or are you just watching like a fan? And then the other question I want to ask him.
Yeah, there's
who's
a lot of questions.
Who's the first comedian playing the Sphere? Who's doing that? Right? I know you. I go, listen, Jimmy, I know your knee jerk reaction is to give it to Kevin Hart. Give it to me. Give it to me. Right? Bro, yeah, that is amazing. You're sitting next to the owner of the freaking Rangers at the Garden with Chris Rock. Unbelievable, man.
I wanted to ask him a lot of questions. I just didn't know what the appropriate thing was at a game with his team, you know? And then we had dinner reservations at 9:30. The game was at 7:30. So after the second period, we had to leave to get to the dinner reservations. Right. My question to you is when he went back in the third period, and he saw that there was an empty seat there. Do you think he goes, Jesus Christ, guy came for two periods? And like what should take on an owner looking at an empty seat next to him going, it's the last time this guy's coming here?
That's an interesting question. Maybe he thought you were up at a skybox. I don't know.
Now, you're a New Yorker. Is this guy looked upon from New Yorkers as favorable? Do people like him as an owner?
No. I mean, they don't. I don't know that they dislike him, but like any other owner, when you're not winning, you give him a hard time. And then he's had some problems in the past with ex-players on the team.
And this morning, former New York Knicks Charles Oakley is making headlines again at Madison Square Garden. The 53-year-old suddenly ejected from his seat while watching the Knicks-Clippers game by a swarm of security. The Knicks claim Oakley was ejected after making negative comments to Knicks owner James Dolan. But Oakley, who has been charged with three counts of assault, adamantly denies the Knicks allegations, saying he was simply there to support the team.
That's some bullshit.
But, you know, man, I don't know enough about that stuff like to, like, say he's not a good dude or is a good dude. I mean,
no, I'm not saying he's a good dude.
He's owned them for a long time. I do. I will say this. I know he's dying to win. I mean, and that's what matters the most is he definitely gives a shit. But okay. When you're next to him, right, you're next to Dolan and you're like, can I bother him? Maybe I shouldn't, right? I always think of like Jack Nicholson, right? Jack Nicholson, I know he's still alive. I talk him like he's not because he's not in the public anymore, but he was always the most famous person in any room he was ever in. And he, right? Like there's nothing he could do that like, you know, he would never, if Jack Nicholson wanted to talk to that guy, he'd turn around and talk to him. You know what I'm saying? Like who is on, like seriously, like on that level, who do you got? Like Mick Jagger, Bruce Springsteen, like who's on that level that like, even Stern is, it could be sitting next to Dolan and I could see Stern thinking, oh, maybe he doesn't want me to talk to him because he's the owner. You know, that like there's very few people like Jack Nicholson that like he could go out on the goddamn ice in the middle of the game and everyone would just go, it's fucking Jack's out there with a beer, right? Like just larger than life. You know what I'm saying? So like, when do you feel like you're, as a, like, it's funny, like, when do you feel like, I mean, you sell out the Garden, so don't you feel like, hey, fuck you guys.
He's just a guy. I don't put anybody up on, like, he's just a guy just like we all are, right? But the circumstances for me was he's watching the game, and I don't know, like, if he would want to be interrupted.
I hear
like,
you.
Like, yeah, like, if I saw him in the lobby, I'd talk to him, but... In the midst of a game, I don't know if he's sitting there going, what the fuck is this guy doing? Jesus Christ, every night with the puck. You know, like, I don't know
right.
what he's doing. I didn't want to interrupt that process. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I hear you.
We got to win this thing. Ting.
Millions of Americans are searching for ways to feel better, but they feel like they've exhausted every option and they don't know where to turn. Now, if that sounds like you... then guided ketamine therapy from MindBloom could be a game changer. MindBloom can help you feel better faster. MindBloom is the leader in ketamine therapy, having helped tens of thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression. MindBloom's expert clinicians and guides can help you feel better in days, not weeks, days, baby. And you can complete treatment entirely from the comfort of your own home. I mean, how wonderful is that, Sebastian? I mean, having to leave my house for this stuff.
They got a study, over 1,000 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only 4 sessions. Now, MindBloom has new programs that go beyond depression and anxiety to help everyone overcome challenges in everyday life. Right now, MindBloom is offering our listeners $100 off your first 6-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/thecast and use the promo code thecast. Break free from your anxiety and depression. Feel better, faster with MindBloom. MindBloom.com/thecast, promo code thecast. I met David Blaine on the Kelly and Mark show. And I'm not name dropping here. I'm just describing my week.
Right.
I'm fascinated with magic. Right? I am. I remember going to a magic store and trying to do magic. This was when I was 24. I came out here. I went to a magic store, and I'm gonna learn magic. I don't know if you ever went through a magic phase in your life where you wanted to do sleight of hand, card tricks, what have you. But I went to a card store in Las Vegas, and I bought a bunch of magic tricks. And I brought the magic tricks to work at the Four Seasons. And during break, downstairs, I would be doing magic, right? Or trying to.
Wow. So, magic is an adult, man.
Yeah. Can you imagine? So
yeah.
I meet Blaine. I go in. He's getting his makeup done. I go, listen. Are you annoyed when people ask you to do a magic trick? Because I'm equating it to comedy. And when somebody comes up to me and goes, make me laugh, I get annoyed, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He goes, are you kidding me? when someone says do magic and he stands up and his assistant hands him a deck of cards and this guy goes right into a trick, right? Now, there's tricks where it's like pick a card, any card, right? You got your card, and this is how old I'm getting, right, bro? He's like, you got your card? Yeah, I got my card, put it back in the deck. I forgot the card I picked. Yep, you ever? So it's not one of these tricks where he takes out your card and goes, is this your card? And you go, oh my God, how did you do that? No, this is like one of these tricks where you take a card, you put it back in the deck, and he goes, look in your back pocket. What? And you look in your back, and then it's like, the cards that this is the type of, rip up the card, put it in your hand, open up your hand, and the card is not ripped up anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Call your mother. Tell her to go upstairs and see if there's an ace of hearts under the fucking pillow in your mother's bedroom.
That's the type of magic this guy's doing, right?
No shit. Yeah, yeah.
So somebody asked him, what's the most dangerous trick you've ever done? Because this guy's been buried alive. He's been, you know, submerged underwater.
Underwater, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, well, it's the trick I'm doing right now. He's like, in my new show, I'm going to end the show by kissing a king cobra. He goes, if a king cobra were to bite an elephant, the elephant would die in 30 minutes, right? So just think if this king cobra bit you in the face, right? So this is what this guy is doing. He's practicing on kissing a king cobra. And I was like, how do you even practice that? Like, it's not like you get bit, you know, and he's like, all right, let's do it again. It's like you get bit. It's like, when's the funeral?
Right. And like, what makes you think there's an approach that the cobra would be okay with? You know, like, you got to come and then wiggle and come over here, and then the cobra's cool with that. And how long is it going to be a... Oh, did you see that? It touched. And then we're going to be able to get at home going, I didn't see any contact. Or is it going to be are you going to tongue it? Like, what are we?
That's what I'm saying. This guy don't do anything like half. This guy is like, might open mouth the thing, right?
God, just the conversation is fascinating. I'm going to kiss a cobra. What the fuck? Did he talk you through any more of it?
No, he just said, yeah, no, I'm working on it for my show in Las Vegas. But he was holding court back there.
Long show.
No, I get it, but it's just talking about what you just did there, like the lean down and then the thing, we the lighter, we see the flame. It's like just light up. Like, what is the whole dip and do shit? Like, we see it. What do you mean?
It's classy. We keep it classy. Because he cuts to you when I do that anyway. He knows to cut to you so no one sees it.
All right, so just fucking light it up and we'll cut you out. You don't gotta bend over like you're hiding it. Like, you're not even gonna be on the camera anyway. So just do it. He'll go to me and you don't...
Then you have it.
Oh shit. So this guy's holding court in the back, and it's like I'm sitting there going, what a great talent to have to do magic. I mean, especially at a party. If you knew how to do magic, would you be doing it consistently wherever the hell you went?
I got what did he? Did he really put a card in your back pocket? Or was that just like an example?
No, he did a trick where I put a card in my pocket, and then I went to go get the card back out. It was a different card. I don't know.
How? Come on.
I don't know.
Do you think the card like had ink on it that it when you put it in your pocket?
I did one with ink. I I took a marker, I put the ink on the card, he smeared it, and then that card ended up in, I had it underneath my hand. Another woman had another card underneath her hand. He went like this. He goes, no, switch. You go where he is. And my card was in her hand, and her card was in my hand. It's just stuff like that. I go, come on. Like, I can't explain how he's doing this. But if I had the ability, I would be carrying a deck of cards wherever I went, and I'd be on an airplane. The guy next to me is sitting there. Before we took off, I go, you want to see something? Pick a card. I'd be doing this to everybody. No?
That's so fascinating.
What an icebreaker.
No.
It's an icebreaker, bro.
I there's something about a magician to me that's very off-putting. It's kind of like the minute I'm around somebody and they like, I don't know how to explain it, bro, but here's the deal. I'm sorry, but like, it's, you don't believe in magic, right? Like, it's a trick. Is that right?
It's a trick. Obviously, it's a trick. There's a method behind it. I know that. I'm just saying.
Right.
How does it happen?
I know. You know, like, it's fascinating. I wish I knew how, but like, after a while, I just like, you know, like, it's weird how like they do these amazing tricks that like are amazing. Like, I don't know how you did that, but we don't demand to know, right? Like, oh, okay, you did that. But like, some of them are so insane. I need to know how you did that, because it you know, it's crazy that you did that. How did you do that? You know, is it really magic? You know, it's like, I don't know. We just, like, you couldn't kiss a cobra. Why isn't it biting him?
Here we go, Omaha Steaks. I just got some steaks in the mail. We're going to have them on Christmas Eve with the apple tarts. Listen, folks, if you haven't gone and used Omaha Steaks yet, I'm telling you, the apple tarts are just as good as the meat, man. So, you know, and if you're looking to give a gift, there is no better gift to give right now than Omaha Steaks. The quality, the convenience, and everything you need to deliver an unforgettable holiday gift experience is right there. A favorite memory of Omaha Steaks over the holiday. What's better than that, man?
The holidays are here, so let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. Shop carefully, curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use the promo code THECAST at checkout, get an additional $30 off your order. Send tender, juicy, butcher-cut fillets, mouth-watering burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, or even an easy-to-prepare meal that are ready in a flash. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless, people. This offer won't last long. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early. Beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code THECAST to check out. I mean, listen, Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that you'll be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very, very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of the 50% off site-wide. Plus, use the code THECAST at checkout to receive an extra $30 off. Minimum order may be required.
Okay. He took a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it down his throat. Now, the sword was about this long, right? And this was on the show. He took it, opened it, and then took it out. Now, obviously, that happened. That wasn't magic. Okay. He took the sword and did that. And there was probably a considerable amount of training involved in order for him here. Yeah. So, yeah, this was the show. He put that down his throat.
Unbelievable.
Now,
I've seen that trick before, yeah.
Okay.
Not trick, but.
So, I'm sure that there has to be some exercise you do where you open up your esophagus. And I don't know, no gag reflex. I don't know. There's something that has to happen in order for him to like accomplish that, right? So what's the problem? Why can't you just enjoy it? Just enjoy the fucking trick, man. I mean, what?
No, I know. I'm coming across mean. I'm a little off my game right now, but I don't know.
It's okay. You feel that way. I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's magic. But
you tricked me. It's not magic. You tricked me. You did a lot of practice and figured out how to. Right. You got me. I mean, it's a talent, but it, you know. Once I see it once, I don't need to. It's like bowling. I do it once a year. Maybe I see a little magic and good. Like, I don't know. Like, if I was married to a magician and they kept wanting to do tricks, I'd be tired of it after a while, I think. You know? I mean, that's how I feel.
If you knew how to do an amazing card trick, you're telling me you're at a party, right? Sitting around, hey, what's going on? Holidays. Yeah, I got to go to my grandparents' house tomorrow. And hey, the kids a couple of gifts. And then you go, you want to see a magic trick? I just think that's just, you become like the hit of the party, bro. I mean, like, you pick a card. And you got three or four guys around you. Pick a card, any kind. Check your pocket. What the fuck? They also, honey, you got to see it, right?
I allow you to be a hit. And then when you do that, this your card? That's like the boom. That must be feel great as a magician when you're like, this your card? Boom.
What the fuck?
Like you're blown away by it.
I asked him, you ever have a trick that don't work? Like, you know. Does he ever have a,
right.
How do you get out of it if the, so he does this card trick. He goes, yeah, I'll show you what happens when it doesn't work, right? So pick a card, any card, okay, put it back in. He did this to a girl. And then he goes, he shows her the card, shows her a card. She goes, that's not my card. He goes, I didn't say it was. I mean, like, the way, like, like the way he right. switched it around, like
right, yeah.
He could have screwed up, but he saved it because he goes, I didn't say it was your card, you know. And then he did something else. Yeah. He went another way. I'm just saying, I had a trick I was doing at 24 with cards where it was a thin, it was almost like fish wire that you put on the card with like a little wax. And the trick was you spun the card and it went around you, right? It went around you. And I had, and it came back into my hand, but it was all on a little thin fish wire. So it looked like the card was floating around me and back into my hand. And then I would go around the other way and then catch it, right? I'm sorry. You bring that out at a party.
Yeah.
You're the hit of the party, bro. I don't understand what why you're resisting.
Could you
magic.
Do that?
Huh?
Because somebody leans forward and their finger hits the little wire.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, he's got a wire on his finger. Oh, wait.
Yeah, but that's not supposed to happen, right? I'm just saying,
I like
bro,
the birds like in a hat. Like they show you the hat and it's empty and then a dove flies out of it. That's like... You know, and then we're just all cool with that. We're cool with that. No one's like, call the cops. We need to know exactly how you made a bird come out of a hat. Like, you know, some of these things are so amazing.
We don't need to know that. You just enjoy it and go, wow, that was unbelievable. I'm sorry, but like, you know,
I'm dying to know how these things are done, man. I'm dying to know how Blaine does. I mean, he's like the best there ever was. He's like the modern day Houdini, man.
Yeah,
I mean it's amazing that you hung out with him.
That's his kind of mentors, Harry Houdini.
Houdini died, right?
How did he die?
He got punched. I think he got punched in the stomach. But it was like from like I think that's what Patrick Googles it'll see. But it wasn't like from a stunt. But like I wonder what Blaine like. You know, was he married? Does he tell his wife, I'm going to kiss a cobra? And is she like, oh, my David, when is enough enough?
Well, he said he had a daughter.
House.
He's got a daughter, so he's, you know, some of his reluctancy is, you know, he wants to be around, you know, because he's got kids.
Yeah.
But it inspired me.
to take up magic again.
Really?
And what I'm going to do is learn a card trick that's going to blow your mind. That's my new goal. If there was a goal, I know we talked about
to
goals.
It, man.
I'm going
to
do it. I'm going to do a card trick.
Ping! All right, guys, when I go on the road and I'm going to work out, there's a pair of sneakers I always have to bring, but I am starting to think there's something else I can't go without. Have you guys tried this FitBod yet? It's like having your own personal trainer, but better, because they're not really right next to you, so I don't have to make conversation. It's cheaper, and you can work out anywhere with or without equipment. And it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you. At FitBod, I'm telling you this on the sly here, folks. They take with what you have. You know, they don't tell you to use a piece of equipment that they know you don't have available. My favorite thing about the app is it helps guide me into what exercises to do next. So I'm never kind of sitting there wondering what else to do. So when I'm on the road and I need to stay fit, I've been doing FitBod. It's like having a coach waiting for me. And the app is easy. It's fun. It's also personalized and it adapts to your progress. So when you start doing better, it pushes you and sets you up in a way so that now you take it to the next level. I'm trying to get fit and stay fit. We all are, right? And using the FitBod app, I can see how close I am to smashing my previous goals and getting stronger and more fit. I mean, I got a lot of traveling I do, and then we do the cast, so it's really nice to have one less thing to think about, right? To have this app telling me what workouts to do. And again, it's cheaper than trying to go out and hire a coach and all the other stuff. So if you're really looking for a little way to get some direction, you might want to look into FitBod and this app and let it help start targeting you. FitBod creates a personalized workout routine based on your goals, your fitness level, and your available equipment. How great is that? It adapts as you improve. It tracks your muscle recovery so you can avoid burning out. And that's another one. People work out too much, then they burn out. FitBod knows when enough is enough. It helps to keep your momentum going, and it helps you learn new movements the right way with over 1,000 demonstration videos. So if you're not understanding what they're saying, you watch a video and now you know how to do it. So add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/thecast. That's FitBod, FitBod.me/thecast.
Dude, what if in like you did a special and like halfway through your special, all of a sudden like you did like three or four amazing tricks, but you know, there was massive humor involved as well, you know, like, so the trick is illusion is amazing, but like, you know, you're floating over the crowd going, how could I be in the box if I'm over the crowd right now? So we're laughing, but also blown away. That's like, and then your next special ain't no more magic. You just like, it's just one of your like many specials through your career. Like, remember that one time he did magic? Halfway through that one time? Oh my God. That would be wildly original. I mean, unless Steve Martin did some magic. I mean, I know he did prior to his stand-up.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be, it would be an illusion.
Illusion, yeah.
It would be, and I've often thought about this. Like, actually, I met with a designer for the tour, and they have an illusionist that works with them. So if artists, like music artists, want to do some type of illusion during their show, that they have this guy available. Now, I was trying to figure out, I'm doing a tour that I just announced. It's called It Ain't Right. And it's in this, in the round, but the stage is a triangle and the screen is a triangle above me, right? So it's and people are asking, what side of the triangle am I going to be performing on? It's like, I'm going to be moving around. It's not like I'm going to perform one side, right? People are asking, yeah, what side are you performing? Jesus Christ. So I'm like, how do I get from backstage to the triangle? And I've done, I come through the stage, I've walked through the crowd, but wouldn't it be great if the whole stadium is lit, right? Uh-huh. All the lights go off, but just the spotlights on the stage. So you just see the triangle, right? All of a sudden, those lights are cut. The arena is completely black.
And then, boom, lights come on. I'm there. How did he get there?
Right. Well,
illusion. I mean, that's the magic, bro. That's magic.
But you got there because they turned the lights out, and then they walked you out from back and put you up there.
No,
right?
No. It doesn't go. It goes boom, boom. It goes dark on. I'm there. There's not enough time.
Right. I see what you're saying, because they could also think that you just came through the floor again when the lights went out, like boom, boom.
They could.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the show, I disappear. Gone. What do you think? Oh, God,
that
bro.
That would be cool.
Here's a recommendation. You got to watch this for the next dude. You got homework to do. You got Paramount Plus?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson. It's called Thriller 40. It's a documentary about the album Thriller turning 40 years old. And Michael Jackson's doing an interview in there that is, it's kind of like never seen before type stuff. You need to watch this because of the time and effort this guy took to his craft, the dancing, the thing. And I'm going to tell you one thing he did. Thriller came out. It was the best-selling album of all time. It sold 6 million copies over, I don't know, 18 months. He did the Billie Jean video, the Beat It video. He did the Motown 25 show where he did the moonwalk. He wanted to do a video for Thriller. The Thriller video's budget was $1.2 million. At that time, the average video cost 50 grand. This guy wants to do a video for 1.2. Instead of asking for money to do a video, they went and asked, I forget what studio it was, we want to do a making of Thriller video, right? It's going to cost $1.2 million to do it. They gave him the money because of the documentary, not because of the video. So what they did is they made the documentary, but they used the $1.2 million to do both, make the documentary and shoot the video, right? This was 18 months after the album dropped. It'd be like you doing a special. It's on Netflix for a year and a half. And then you wanting to do something with that special. Like, oh, let's do... But it'd be like, it's over. It ran its course. They make the video. After the video airs, the album sells 16 million copies. Triple of what it sold its first 18 months just because of the Thriller video. When most record companies would have said, it's over. You put the album out a year and a half ago. We're done. We're moving on to the next thing. This guy did a video, sold another 16 million. I mean, I tell you what, I walked out of that documentary and I was inspired.
Yeah. That's wild, man.
That's a whole different mindset.
You should think about that illusion, man, trying to do something, though. That would be pretty wild if you could come up with something really cool.
Yeah, maybe I tap Blaine's brain, see what we could do. Maybe Blaine come out and do something. I don't know. You got any more shows the rest of the year?
Yeah, I'm on my tour, the Authentic Tour, as I call it. More shows added for all you guys out there. Go to PeteCorielli.com. I'm now coming to Toronto, Montreal, San Antonio, San Diego. So, and more dates keep being added, folks. So, want to come see me. And those who have come, thank you. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll keep it going to 2024.
There you have it. Pete Corielli on the road, hitting a major, major Canadian run.
Well, two dates in Canada so far. But you announced the whole thing, right?
I announced the first leg. 47 cities. Wow. Coming to places that have never come. North Fork, Virginia, Youngstown, Ohio. Looking forward to going to those spots. And then Bookie. We got Bookie Thursday nights, like Pete mentioned, two episodes a night for the whole month of December. Make sure you tune in there. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do this for a second season. And we're gonna be doing some more Pete and Sebastian show live here in Los Angeles with some guests coming up in January.
So, yeah, stick with it. Go to patreon.com. Get some get your extra episodes, some behind-the-scenes footage of Pete and Sebastian. And I got to thank everybody for tuning in here. And we're looking forward to big things in 2024.
That's it, man. There you good hanging, bro.
Good hang, good hang.
The show has ended.
Yeah, it's magic, but...
You tricked me. It's not magic. You tricked me. You did a lot of practice and figured out how to... right, you got me. I mean, it's a talent.